As we have traveled through the Advent season, we've pondered the gifts that Advent brings us. The gift of patience as we wait for the coming of the newborn King, expectant, but living in the moment. The gift of silence and speech. The gift of pondering and then speaking. And last Wednesday we heard about the gift of hope, the light that leads us ever into the future. And the final gift is the first gift of Christmas, the gift of family. Now if you think about it, the entire first two chapters of Luke are about family. Zechariah and Elizabeth, faithful servants of God who have not been able to have a family, finally have their deepest desire fulfilled, a son. Mary and Elizabeth, two women at different ages of their life, but sharing the same joy and trepidation, a child, and at their age, Mary and Joseph, just starting out together, surprised by a son, but no ordinary child. Jesus, born surrounded by family. Mary, Joseph, probably some extended kin if we follow from the sermon last night. Family. Even in Scripture, it can take all kinds of forms. In the Hebrew Scriptures, what is often called the Old Testament, family primarily was an extended form. Often when you spoke of was not family but a household. Everyone who lived in that grouping was to one degree or another family, even the servants. Patriarchs, perhaps with several wives, their children and helpers. It would include sons and their wives, grandsons and their wives, plus any unmarried children and grandchildren. It was a big affair. And the household family was the main context in which you lived your life. But you would have links to other households through clans and even beyond that to your tribe. By the time Jesus was born, the idea of family had also come to include a more nuclear family under one roof. Parents and children, perhaps sons and their wives, but you still had strong family connections. Many people would, in one way or another, in a town, be related. You still were surrounded by family. Now, family for Jews and early Christians was understood to be a gift from God. It was the main unit for inclusion, for authority, for worship and teaching. It was the context in which everything else existed. Martin Luther carried on this high view of family. He understood the basic family unit of parents and children to be the core vocation, the core relationship to which God has called us and has given us to live in. It was within the family that we experience in an incarnated and embodied way the reality of God's love and desire for us. Parents in this way are God for their children. They teach them through their actions about God's unconditional love by their unconditional love. They teach them about care for strangers, about the strength of family, even in difficult moments. The joy multiplied by family in those moments of celebration. And it's in our family that we first encounter and live with God. It was in the home that you would have worshipped God first. You would have been taught to say your prayers. You would have been shown the ways in which, in a Jewish household, to offer sacrifice. You would have heard Scripture read. God has given us the gift of family. And God in Jesus has experienced that gift. The infant laid in the manger needed loving parents to feed and change him. And despite what some may try and tell you, yes, I'm pretty sure his poop did stink. Jesus knew the comfort of a mother's lap, of a father's hug. He knew the joys of learning from his parents the basics of life, how to eat, how to talk, maybe not how to tie his shoes, but perhaps how to put on those sandals, how to dress himself, how to say please and thank you, to learn from his father what it meant to be a man in that world and the things particular to his father, the shaping of wood, the duties, religious and otherwise, of a Jewish man. He learned from and helped his mother, fetching water and wood, tending any animals that they had. And in that town of Nazareth, Jesus would have been surrounded by cousins and others to play with, have fun. And in those extended relationships of family, he would have learned about playing fair, arguments, and how to apologize and forgive. The gift of family is in many ways the gift of life. Now there's family by blood and there's family by choice. But there is something in sharing the same blood with someone, some intangible gift but also responsibility that goes beyond anything else. Through circumstances not entirely under my own control, I've seen my niece only a handful of times in my life. And this is the same with the cousins on the Barnacle side of the family, who, interestingly enough, are now pretty close. They're in Wisconsin and Illinois. But still, I don't see them that much. But regardless, they are my blood. And I would do anything that I can in my power to help them. Often, regardless of how you may feel at any given moment about your blood kin, that reality of shared blood, that connection, trumps anything else. It's the gift of family, knowing that regardless of what comes, you can count on them. That is also the gift of family that is chosen. Not everyone has the gift of biological family, orphans, those who are widowed, abandoned, childless. And they can have the gift of family through choice. I have a number of acquaintances and colleagues who through necessity and choice have adopted. Often children from other countries or other ethnicities. What a gift that can be. To know that these people chose to love you, chose to take on the joys and the responsibilities of raising you and loving you even when they didn't have to. To say, you're mine and I am yours and nothing will change that. This is why when Jesus talks about family, talks about placing God above even that, people are shocked. Because he's stepping on some of these gifts, on some of these expectations, but it also points out how central God is to our lives. Because it can be easy to turn parents, family, our children, into an idol. To believe that here in these relationships we will be saved. God in Jesus affirms the experiences, the value, the joy, the gifts of family. But Jesus also reminds us that the relationship we share with God, with those baptized into the body of Christ, made children of God, trumps even those other relationships. Because without God in the center of family, at the head of family, it is just another false idol. But that all is to come. Something to keep in our minds this day. But today, this season, as the hectic Christmas Eve is gone, both for us and for Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. The shepherds have gone home. The first day as a new family dawns. And there is just father, exhausted mother, sleeping child. Today, there's our own family. By birth and by blood, by choice, gathered to sing and to celebrate this gift of a child, to love and to laugh. And as we end this year and we prepare for the next, as we understand that family is never perfect and it can be difficult to navigate, but when it comes right down to it, I think we are called to say, thanks be to God for family. Amen.